Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We're going to finish up Yud Amud Bet and go to Yud Aleph. And if we go a little farther, that way we can start getting ready for getting through the Shabbat daf. Okay. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer b'Shlosha. We're talking about the Ibor Shana now. So this is when they decided to add an extra month. We're going to talk about all different things relating to that today. Tanya. Kitzad. So how do they do it? Amar Shimon Gamliel b'shlosha matchilim u'b'chamisha nosim v'notnim v'gomrim b'shiva. This we saw in our own Mishnah, which is you start the diyun with three, then with five you debate it, and then they finish with seven. So now they're going to why bring this braita? Because the braita goes into more detail. So far it's been the exact same thing the Mishnah said. Echad omer leshev u'shnayim omrim shelo leshev. So now, if one of them says, let's sit and discuss, I think we need to deal with Ibor Shana. But two of them say, no, we don't need to add an extra month. Batel, then they just stop. Batel Yachid b'miyuto. So the Yachid is canceled because he's the minority, and that's the end of the diyun. They don't go further. But if Shnayim omrim leshev, echan omer shelo leshev, but if two say, let's sit and discuss it, and one says, no, we don't need to, mosifin aleim od shnayim, then they add another two to have five, v'nosim v'notim b'davar. So the three is just to decide, are we getting started or not? Then they have a whole diyum with five. Again, it's going to be the same thing. Shnayim omrim tzrichai, two say, we need to add a leap year, u'shlosha omrim einan tzrichai, but three say no, but tlu shnayim b'miutan, so then they don't have a leap year. But shlosha omrim tzricha, u'shnayim omrim einat tzricha. But if three out of five say we need to have a leap year, mosifin aleim od shnayim, then they add another two, she'en aminyan pachot m'shiva, because you have to have at least seven. So they add another two, and then with the seven, they basically decide they're going to, they make the decision at five, but until the seven get together and say, we are making an extra month, they wait till that happens before they actually add the extra month.
Is this process specifically for Chodesh, or is it for other things too? Then Chodesh is an example of it.
No, it's specifically for Ibor Shana. It's only for Ibor Shana. It's not for Ibor Chodesh, and it's not for to make a month 31 days. Yeah. It's only for adding a leap year. This is the only time we see, it's the only time we see specifically this kind of thing. There are times when they add Dayanim, like if there's a debate, then right, then we saw Mosifim. We're going to see more of that later also.
Does it say when they have to add the extra month, or they can be at any time of the year?
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's really in Adar, but we'll talk about it later also. They would generally sit around Chodesh Adar and decide, do we need to add an extra Adar or not? There's certain cases where there were exceptions to the rule. If we get that far today, we'll get to it today, otherwise tomorrow. Now they want to know these numbers, shlosha chamisha v'shiva keneged mi. Okay, where do we get that there's this 3-5-7 sequence? Okay, obviously they decided it for various reasons. Now they just want to connect it to some other concept where we see 3, 5, and 7. I don't know if it's in your head yet what they're going to get to. Pligi bar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chad di'ime. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani and one that was with him, Umanu, and who is this one that was with him? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. And Amrule, and some people say it was actually Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, v'chad ime, that they, no matter what, you're going to get to the same conclusion, but they said, we know it's Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and it was somebody with him, and then they figured out Umanu, who was the one with him, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. Chan amar keneged berka konim, right, which has three letters, then five letters, then seven, I'm sorry, three words, five words, seven words, right, Yivracha Hashem v'yishmerecha, etc. V'chan amar shlosha keneged shomrei hasaf. Chamisha miro'ei pnei ha-melech and shiv'a ro'ei pnei ha-melech. Okay, this comes from various psukim in the Tanakh. Okay, there are three shomrei asaf, which are the guards of the gate. Okay, these are here are all these psukim. Okay, the shomrei asaf comes from Melachim Bet Perek Kafei Pasuk Yud-Chet, when it talks about the destruction and when the Bavlim come in and they do the galut bavel. So it says vayikach rabba tavachim blah 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 ve'et shloshet shomrei hasaf. Okay, those are the three gatekeepers. Okay, so there we see there's a group of three that are leaders. Then we have the chamisha miro'ei pnei hamelech, which also comes from there. It says, "Umina ir lakach v'chamisha anashim meroei pnei hamelech." Okay, these are all pasukim at the end of Sefer Melachim Perek Kapei, pasuk Yuchet and Yutet. Then the last pasuk, the Shiv'a roei pnei hamelech, most of the mafreshim say that we're talking about in Megillat Esther. Do you remember the seven people that were the for Achashverosh, right? Shiv'a tzarei parasu madai roei pnei hamelech. Okay, so that's the main source. However, some people quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, because what's the problem with that pasuk? It has to do with Achashverosh. It doesn't have to do with, right, in the pasukim of Melachim, there are people. But in the pasuk of Esther, it's Achashverosh, so that's less, you know, they less like that. So then they take Yirmiyahu Nun Bet. I'm trying to remember now. Maybe when I look at it inside, I'll remember why that wasn't chosen from the beginning. Why not everybody agrees. It says here, Vayikach Rabba Tebachim, Rav Shlosha Shomrei Asaf, Umina Ir Lakach Saris Achan, Shiv'a Meroei Pnei HaMelech. Right, so there in the discussion of the destruction, it says there, Shiv'a Anashim Meroei Pnei HaMelech. Okay, so I'm not sure why, I don't remember the reason why someone would have chosen Esther as the pasuk as opposed to this. I believe Rashi is the one who quotes the pasuk in, yeah, right. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Esther. Why he didn't quote Yirmiyahu is a good question. Okay, so there we have it. Either Keneged the Kohanim, the Ein Yaakov had a good explanation of the connection to the Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim, it says, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Right, the first the Kohanim do something, and then God kind of confirms it. Right. So it's the same kind of thing with the Kiddush HaChodesh. It's one of those things that God gave us the power to do, but in the end, he kind of gives his rubber stamp on it, right, so to speak. Another, so it's similar to the Birkat Kohanim. Okay. Amar le Abai le Rav Yosef. Ada ina, my time alo parish la marhachi. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, oh, sorry, I skipped. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brings a braita. Hani shlosha v'chamisha v'shiva. Shlosha keneged shomrei asaf, chamisha meroei pnei hamelech, and shiva roei pnei hamelech. So the same, he says the same thing basically as one of the opinions we saw before. So Amar le Abai le Rav Yosef, very interesting interaction here. Ada ina, my time alo parish la marhachi. Why until now did you not explain this to us? And almost like, I've been waiting all my life for you to explain this, and all of a sudden now, today, you're explaining this? Why didn't you tell me this earlier? Amar lehu, lo hava yadana did srichutu, mi b'iti menai milta v'lo amar lehu. I didn't know you needed to know this. I didn't know you didn't know this. Has there ever been anything that you asked me that I didn't tell you? Right. So he's basically saying, you know, why are you complaining? I didn't tell you something. I didn't know you didn't know. And maybe this is a good description of a teacher-student relationship, right? The teacher doesn't always know what the students don't know. And, you know, and the teacher and the students blaming the teacher, why didn't you ever tell us this? And the teacher saying, well, I thought it was obvious, right? I didn't realize you didn't know that. So each side maybe has to do, right? The students need to ask more and the teacher needs to realize that the students don't know everything that the teacher thinks they know. Okay. Zman nasit tarich gidi siman. These are all simanim for the next section. Tana Rabbanan. And now we're going to talk about on what basis are they Ma'aber Shana and how are they, how do they, in what constellation? Okay, first we're going to get off on a tangent of a whole bunch of stories. It has to be people, according to Rashi, that the Nasi appointed, he kind of invited them to come to do the Ibor Shana. So these seven people who decide, we're going to make a new month, they have to be invited by the Nasi. Maseh Rabban Gamliel Shamar Hashkimuli Shiv'a La'Aliyah. Okay, get me up early in the morning, 7, to go to the Aliyah. We're going to see later that they didn't do Kiddush Ibor Shana or Kiddush HaChodesh at night. So they would invite them at night, right? Rashi even says that. Shizminu Hanasim Miba Erev. Invite them the night before. Say, come early in the morning to the Aliyah. Often they did things in the Aliyah. Talks about in the upper level of a house. Hishkim u'matzah shmona. He got up early. He goes up there and he finds 8. So somebody came who wasn't invited. Okay, like Eldad u'Medad, right? So someone comes who's not invited. Well, there they were, right? That's a little different. They were invited, but anyway, we'll get to Eldad u'Medad soon. Hishkim u'matzah shmona. Amar mihu shala shelo b'reshut. He says, which one of you is here, shelo b'reshut? Now, this is classic Rabban Gamliel, right? He doesn't mind embarrassing someone, saying, right? So he says, who here who doesn't belong? Shelo b'reshut yarad, who came here, shelo b'reshut. Amad Shmuel HaKatan. So Shmuel HaKatan gets up. By the way, I'm already noticing here. There's a lot of, okay, they went la'aliyah. Okay, that's where they were supposed to go. Then he says, I read it wrong. He said, Miusha'alah shelo b'rishut yered. Right? Whoever went up, shelo b'rishut should come down, which is also, right, going up, going down, kind of up in leadership, down. And right? And then what happens? Amad Shmuel HaKatan, right? He stands up, almost like Allah, right? It's more similar to Allah than Yarad. Shmuel HaKatan gets up. V'amar, ani hu she'aliti shelo b'rishut. I'm the one who did it. V'lo la'aber shana aliti, ela l'mor halacha l'maseh utzrachti. Okay, so he says, I didn't come up because I wanted to be part of the seven. I came up because I wanted to learn how to do it. Okay, I wanted to observe. Amar lo, shev bini shev. Ruyot kol hashanim kulan lehitaber al yadcha. So he says to him, sit down, because you're so humble that all the, or, well, we'll talk about what exactly he did, what it shows, all the shanim should be ruyim lehitaber al yadcha. You should always be involved. Now, what exactly happened here? Okay, it's clear, certainly from the continuation, that Shmuel HaKatan was not the one that didn't belong. And he was just saying it so as not to embarrass somebody else. Okay, and as he took the fall, right, so that nobody else would need to. And we're going to see it. We're going to see a whole slew of stories where the same thing happens, where a rabbi tries to embarrass someone, and the person, or maybe not necessarily, we'll see, but then somebody, always not the person who's guilty, gets up and takes the blame. And there's a few questions about this, which is, didn't Rabban Gamliel know who he invited? If he's supposed to invite seven people, so he should have known who those seven people were. And maybe he did. And maybe he was trying to get the person to admit that he was wrong. But Rabban Gamliel knew well all along, and that's why he knew when Shmuel HaKatan got up that it wasn't Shmuel HaKatan, he was just doing it. Some people say that he just said the first seven rabbis should go up, and then an eighth came, right? And he didn't know which one was the eighth that showed up, because it says he got up and it turns out there were already eight there and he didn't know which one. Some people say that he appointed someone to appoint them and that he wasn't the one who actually handpicked them, which is strange because we said the Nasi needs to appoint them, but it's, from this you learn, at least if you go with that interpretation, he can invite them by a shaliach, or he can have someone else appoint them to come. So there's a few questions about this story, but the interesting part is going to be the connection with all the following stories. So now, Ela Amru Chachamim Ra. So wait, I didn't finish actually the sentence. Sorry, I stopped mid-sentence. So Amar Lo Shev Bini Shev Ruyot Kol HaShanim Kulan Litaber Al Yadecha Ela Amru Chachamim Eim Abrin Et HaShana Ela B'Muzumanin La. Okay, but Ata Ra'oi the Kol HaShanim should be Mitabrim Al Yadcha, but the Chachamim said you can only do it B'Muzumanin La. Okay, and therefore, now, according to this, it seems like Rabban Gamliel didn't realize that he wasn't actually the one. Okay, because it sounds like Rabban Gamliel saying, you should be able to be the one, but I can't do it because you weren't the one invited, which would then beg the question, didn't he know, and what's going on exactly here? V'lo Shmuel HaKatanaya, ela inish achrina. Now, the Gemara tells us, in case you weren't sure, it really wasn't Shmuel HaKatan, it was somebody else. He didn't want to embarrass anybody else. Ki hadiyatve, just like another story. Ki hadiyativ Rebbe. Rebbe was sitting v'kadarish, and he was darshaning in the Beit Midrash. Ve'riach reach shum, and he smelled a bad garlic smell. Amar misha achal shum yetze. Says whoever was eating garlic should leave. It's creating a terrible smell in the Beit Midrash, and it's bothering me. Amar Rabbi Chia v'yatza. So Rabbi Chia gets up and leaves. Now, remember Rabbi Chia, right? He was basically the same status as Rebbe in the Beit Midrash. This is like a big shock, right? Amdu kulan v'yatzu. Everybody got up and walked out of the Beit Midrash out of respect for Rabbi Chia. Amar le, atau, so they asked him later, atau shetziarta l'aba? Are you the one who really, this is, right? Sorry, I skipped a line. Mitzao Rabbi Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe Chia. So later, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, goes to Rabbi Chia. Amar le, atau shetziarta l'aba? Are you the one who really, was it really you who had the garlic? Amar lo, lo te kezot b'Yisrael. He says, no, that I was not the one, okay? Meaning he just did it again so as not to embarrass anyone. Rabbi Chia mehecha gamirla, and where did he learn this behavior, right? The assumption is he didn't just come up with this on his own. He must have mimicked someone else who did the same thing. Mi Rabbi Meir, here's another story. Detanya ma'aseh b'ishachat, Sheba lebeit midrasho shel Rabbi Meir. A woman walks into the Beit Midrash, right? You can imagine the scene. Okay, right? Rare that a woman probably came into the Beit Midrash in those days. Amar lo, Rabbi, echa mikein kidsheni bibi'ah. She walks into the Beit Midrash. She says, one of the men in your Beit Midrash betrothed me through having sexual relations. And then I guess he just never showed up after that, right? And I'm stuck now because I'm betrothed to him. I can't marry anybody else. He didn't give me a get, but he's also not married to me because he never showed up and married me. Amar Rabbi Meir v'katav la get kritut v'natan la. So Rabbi Meir gets up and writes her a get and gives it to her. Amdu kulan katvu v'natnu la. Okay, so everybody got up in the Beit Midrash and wrote her again. Okay, again, he did it so as not to embarrass anybody, right? Obviously, he wasn't the one, but he tried to set an example, and everybody followed. For Rabbi Meir Mehechi Gamrala, and where did he learn it from? Mishmuel HaKatan. Now we go back to our story. Okay, so our story was the first one, and that led to the Rabbi Meir story, and that led to the, who was the story? Rabbi Hichia story with the garlic. So where did he learn it from? Mishchenya ben Yechiel. Okay, who's this? Dichtiv vayan Shchenya ben Yechiel mi bnei Elam vayomer la Ezra anachnu ma'alnu belokenu v'noshav nashim nochriot me'amei ha'aretz v'ata yesh mikvah liYisrael al zot. Okay, what is this? In the time of Ezra, there was this problem that many of the men married non-Jewish women, and Ezra made a whole big thing about it. And it says here that Shchenya said, came and said to Ezra, we rebelled against God, and we took these Nashim Nochriyot, and now there's mikveh, they mean as there's tikvah, there's hope for the Jewish people, because we're going to get rid of our wives. Ushchenya ben Yechiel, oh, so now, okay, it doesn't tell us this, but he, there's a list in Ezra of all the people who had Nochri wives, and he's not mentioned in that list. Okay, so the assumption is, he got up and said, we all took non-Jewish wives, when it really wasn't necessarily him. Some people also say the reason why he would have said, if it would included him, Ata yesh mikveh lanu alzot. He would have included himself there. And here he said, Li Yisrael, he was referring in third person, right? Meaning he wasn't necessarily directly involved. Ushchenya ben Yechiel mehecha gamrala. So where did he learn it from? Mi Yoshua. Now this is interesting. He doesn't, right, we can go on forever, right? So this is going to end it basically. Why? Because it's not really from Yoshua. It's from an incident that happened in Yoshua, and we'll see who he actually learned it from. Dichtiv, and then you'll understand why we end here. Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua, Kum lech, Lama ata nofel apanecha, Chata Yisrael. So now what happened? This was in when Achan took the Shalal in the Mechemet Ha'ai. And this is after, and right, when there was a, they took the Shalal from Yericho, and then the 36 people died in the Melchama of the Ai, and Yoshua is trying to figure out what happened. So he says, Lama tanofel panecha, what are you sitting there davening for? Chata Yisrael, okay, or why are you upset? Chata Yisrael. Amar lefanav ribono shalom, mi chata? He said, who's the one who sinned? Amar lo, v'chi delitor ani lecha? What, you think I'm a tattletale? You think I'm going to tell you directly who did it? Hatil goralot. Okay, I'm not willing to tell you directly. So now we go straight to God. God is the one who's saying, I'm not going to go embarrass someone and point fingers. You figure it out on your own. You come up with your own method. V'ibayt ema mi Moshe. Some people say it was through Hashem, but not through the incident with Yoshua, but really through Moshe. Dichtiv an ana me'antem. Okay, what is this? This is right when, in Shmot Zayin, it says, V'yomar Hashem Moshe, an ana me'antem l'shmur mitzvotai. Vitorotai, and he's grouping everybody together, even though not all the people had sinned, right? This is with the man. When the people took extra man on Shabbat, so, or was it Shabbat, or was it a regular day? I'm blanking.
Friday.
But it was Friday. Right. For Shabbat, they took extra. So he says, right, all of you, when it really wasn't all of you, okay, right, it was just some people. So basically, again, we have where God groups everyone together so as not to embarrass and isolate any one person.
Wait, can I just stop for a second? Mm-hmm. I find that story of the woman coming into the Beit Midrash very disturbing.
Disturbing, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a very disturbing story. You can think about what to make of the connection of all these stories. I was thinking maybe you could come up with some sort of a progression. You know, there's Ibor Shana first, then there's the story of the Shum, right? And as which one came first? No, the story of Rabbi Meir actually comes before the story with the shum. Right? The story with the shum seems so strange. Like, who cares? So we have bad breath, right? It seems like such a silly, compared to all the other things, right? One is a rabbi trying to get into the...
Except, be
in a higher position of power. Like, that's a power thing. And as if you think about it, we always have these categories. There's power struggles, there's sexual stories and problems there, and there's men not taking responsibility for their wives. Right. Well, the question is, was it really someone in the Beit Midrash? Although probably it was someone in the Beit Midrash. The question is, did she know who it was? Or it sounds like she didn't even know
who it was.
Right.
Exactly.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it was someone in the Beit Midrash, but yes. In other words, these are all around the Beit Midrash, right? There are people who are coming to learn, who are coming in with bad breath and not being sensitive to other people around them. There's people who are trying to get into positions of power that are not magia to them, right? The going to be Ma'aber Shana. And then there's men not taking responsibility for their sexual activity, right? Going, sleeping with a woman. Interestingly, he did it l'shem kiddushin, right? And then not assuming responsibility for it. So.
I actually don't find that story so disturbing.
Why?
No, because I think in a way she probably did know who it was. She went in there. She didn't say who it was, and maybe she knew he would act honorably and not. Like, she got her problem solved, and they gave her a get.
Right.
They could have screamed. They could have denied it. There are a million other alternatives. At least they solved the problem.
Uh-huh. So. Right, it was a good situation of a woman also assuming responsibility on her own, getting up there, going into the Beit Midrash, which, like I said, I can imagine. And Beit Midrash is a man's world. Anyone who knows, right, any women who go to All Men Daf Yomi Shirim know that it's not so easy to always walk into a...
And she really embarrassed herself.
And, right, and she put herself out there.
Yeah.
And she got a solution to her problem.
Yeah.
So she got a lot of divorce documents.
And the garlic story is very powerful because...
Which one?
The garlic.
Yeah.
Because it's Rabbi Chia, who's like number two, over something so small.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sort of really drives home the issue behind this.
Of taking responsibility.
You know.
Right. Well, again, the whole message of this, right, there's a few messages. One is, number one, there's the issue of not embarrassing other people. You see how some of the rabbis try to embarrass other people, right? They say, get out. Yeah, you got to wonder how Rabban Gamliel, Rebbe, they got up and said, whoever did this, right? Rabbi Meir actually acted very discreetly, right? He just did it himself. Some of these rabbis actually were willing to embarrass people and say, whoever did this, please get up. And what they're trying to say is, you have to assume responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility. Say I did something wrong and move on. However, the embarrassment aspect is so difficult that, you know, other people came in right away and said, well, we'll make it easier for them because it's obviously a difficult thing. Anyway, very interesting stories. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Mishametu Nevi'im Ha'achronim Chagai Zechariah Malachi Nistaka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. Okay, now we get that. After the last three Malachim, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, they were the last. There was no more Ruach HaKodesh. Very interesting, because we know we've seen before, we don't pay attention to the bat kol. But here they say for a period of time they were still relying on the bat kol. What was a bat kol? It's not so clear. I can't tell you. I'll give you exactly what it was. But certainly from this Gemara it looks like it was some type of nivuah that was much weaker than nivuah that happened before. It was almost like a transitional time period in between going from nivuah to no nivuah at all. There was something that would sort of give you some sort of indication, but it wasn't clear-cut what exactly it was. You wouldn't exactly understand 100%. So here we're going to see. Pam achat hayu mesubim ba'aliyah beit guria b'yericho. Again, we see they were in the Galiyah, and that's where they often sat. V'netna alehem bat kol min ha-shamayim. Yesh kan echad sheva'oi she'tishrei alav shechina, ela she'ein doro zakai lekach. Okay, there's someone here who's ra'oi, that he should be a Navi, but the door of the generation is not ra'oi. Lechach natnu chachamim et enehem bihilel azaken. The rabbis, so again, this is what's the bat kol? It says something, but it's not clear. So what do the rabbis assume? It must be Hilel azaken, because he's the greatest out of all of them. U'kishamet amru alav he chasid he'anav tamido shel Ezra. And they said, oh, how sad this chassid, this humble person died. He was a Talmid of Ezra. Meaning he went in the way of Ezra. Shuv pam achad, and now you'll see why they brought this up now. Hayu mesubim ba'aliyah b'yavneh, v'natnu alehem bat kol min ha-shamayim. Yesh kan achad shevo'oi she'tishrei alav shechina. So now we're jumping ahead, a bunch of generations, and they're in Yavneh now, and Again, the bat kol comes and says the same thing. Ela she'ein doro zakai lekach. Natznu chachamim et eidehem b'Shmuel haKatan. That's why it's here, because we're going back to where we started with these stories about Shmuel haKatan, how great he was. Right? Obviously, his name, haKatan, right, indicates, he was great and maybe made himself small, right? Maybe he was actually short. Some people say he's called Shmuel haKatan to compare him to Shmuel haNavi. The Shmuel haNavi, and he's Shmuel haKatan. Ukishemet amru alav hechasid he'anav tamido shel Hillel. Okay, here we have, again, the same type of thing. And, you know, woe that he died, because he was so special. Afu amar b'shat mitato. Then he had some sort of his own type of prophecy when he died. Shim'on v'Yishmael, and this is going to have to do with the Asarah Harugei Malchut. He basically says this is going to happen. The people, a lot of the great rabbis are going to die. He doesn't actually have 10. 10, you know, is this some fictitious number that comes up. They make up these 10. It's not exactly fictitious, but they collect from different places. It's not like at one point there were 10 that were killed all at the same time. Shim'on v'Yishmael l'churva. They're going to be killed by Cherev. V'chaverohi l'katla. And their friends are going to be killed in some other way. Ushar ama l'biza. And the rest of the nation is going to be embarrassed, you know, kind of defeated. Ve'akan sigian atidin lemete al alma, and bad troubles are atid to come to the world. Ve'al Yehuda ben Bava b'kshulo marken. So stop. That's the end of what he said. Okay. So he basically prophesies that the Romans are going to conquer all, and they're going to kill a bunch of the great rabbis. Ve'al Yehuda ben Bava, who was another one of the Asarah Harugei Malchut, b'kshulo marken. They wanted to say the same thing about him when he died, the same thing they said about Shmuel HaKatan, the same thing they said about Hillel HaZaken. Ela shenitrafa sha'ah, but time got away from them. She'em maspidin l'harugei malchut. A bunch of reasons why you're not maspid l'harugei malchut. Some people say because the government, you know, the people who killed won't let you. Some people say it's because they're worried they're not going to bury them, so if they let you bury them, they bury right away and they don't do any hespedim just in case they change their mind and don't allow you to bury. And another reason was, we're worried that if you start making hespedim on them, what was the issue with the Harugei Malchut? That they think they conspired, you know, that they're rebels and spies. So if you start being maspid aleihem, they're going to convict you also, possibly. They'll accuse you and say you're connected with them. Tana Rabbanan. Eim abrinit hashana. Now we're going to get back to Yibor Shana. That was all a diversion about Shmuel HaKatan. Eim abrinit hashana elem kein yirtzet nasi. The Nasi has to agree to it. Okay, so he has to invite the people to judge it. You need 7. And then the Nasi has to kind of stamp of approval. Okay, he was on a business trip, basically. And it took him a long time to come back. They did an Ibor Shana al Tanai. They said, we're going to be Ma'abir the Shana now because it was Adar and they had to add the extra month. But they said, if he comes back and says no, then we'll cancel it. Obviously, this could get complicated if it takes too long and it's already Pesach. Ukishabar Rabban Gamliel va'amar rotzani nimtzei shana mu'ubered. And Rabban Gamliel eventually came and said, yes, I agree. And it turned out, so retroactively, it was a Shana mu'ubered. Tana Rabbanan, Eim abrinit hashana, elem ken aitat tzricha mipnei adrachim, umipnei agsharim, umipnei tanurei psachim, umipnei galiyot Yisrael shene'ekumim komam ba'adayin lo higiu. Aval, I'll just keep reading and then we'll go back. Aval lo mipnei asheleg, velo mipnei atzina, velo mipnei galiyot Yisrael shelo akumim komam. This doesn't mean that this is the only reason, but that what they're saying is there's certain reasons that you can't use and certain things you can use. If it's just cold, it's going to be cold for the people to walk on Aliyah L'Regel, that doesn't count. If it's because there's people who haven't started early enough, we're not going to delay because of that. So that's why I want to start from the end. But if it's a lot of rains, and the rains are still coming, and that's going to make it very difficult for people to travel. Cold, you can deal with. Rain is much more complicated. So imagine the caravans on the roads when it's all muddy. It's almost impossible. And the Tanurei Psachim, if they're not going to dry out in time, then yes. And if people have started the trek from far away, but they're still not going to make it, then we delay pushing it off. How they knew exactly that people had started on their way and, you know, how they were able to communicate that, I'm not exactly sure. Tana Rabbanan. Eim abrinit hashana. Now we're going to see other things, where you are or not. Lo mipnei hagdiyim velo mipnei atzlaim. Okay, if the lambs or the baby goats aren't fat enough yet, and you want bigger ones for the Korban Pesach, the lo mipnei gozalot shelo perchu. Also, when people would come on Aliyah L'Regel, they would bring all the bird sacrifices that they owed for various things, and let's say there weren't enough birds that were born yet, and they wanted to wait till more eggs hatched. Aval osino tan sa'ad l'shana, but this can be an additional factor. You can use these as factors in addition to other factors, but this can't be your only reason for being ma'aber shana. Ketzad, how so? Rabbi Yana Omer Mishum Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, Mohodin Anchana Lichon Degozlai Rechichin Vimraya Da'arkin. So he said, I am going to, this Rabbi Yana says Mishum Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, that we are Modi'in, that's Mohodin Anachnu Lachem, okay, we're letting you know that the Gozalim are soft still, and the Imraya de'arkin, that means the lambs are very thin. Bezimna de'aviva lomata, and it hasn't yet come time for spring, which means that the crops aren't ripe yet. Okay, so now you see that he gave those as reasons, but only in addition to the spring issue being an issue. Veshaprat milte ba'anfana, vosifat al shata, and it's good in my eyes, and I will add another year. I will add to the year, Shatada, to this year, Talten Yomin, and I will add 30 days. Now the Gemara is going to deal with this 30 days. So he basically is saying, okay, there's going to be a few things we're going to point out here. Number one, he says we're adding 30 days. Okay, the first thing we brought was to say how you consider all these things together. The second thing is, he says, and I am Mosif on the year. He kind of gives himself all the credit, which we're going to talk about soon. And he says 30 days. The first thing we're going to deal with is 30 days. Meitivei. But now there's a contradiction from a Tana Itik source. Kama Ibor Shana. When you add another month, how many days do you add? Do you add a 29-day month or a 30-day month? So, Ibor Shana Shloshim Yom. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel himself amar chodesh, which means 29 days. So how could he have said 30 when he says somewhere else 29? Amar Papa ratzu chodesh, ratzu shloshim yom. That's not, right, you can do it either way, okay? That's not, his point was just add another month, right? Whether it's going to be 29 or 30, we can figure that out later. Tachaze, or you can choose what you want to do. Tachaze ma'ika ben. Now we're going to deal with the fact that he said, and I am adding on another month. My ika ben tkifai kadma'ai, la'am venute batrai. Now the Gemara says, look at the difference between a very strong, tough, earlier leader, which is going to be Rabban Gamliel, who we know from many stories was very tough and arrogant almost, so to speak, and many of his, you know, he kind of shows his authority very strongly. Le'am batnai batrai. But Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was known to be more humble than his father. Titania, here we see, Ma'asebe Rabban Gamliel, Shaya Yoshev Agav Ma'aleh Harabayit. He was sitting near the Harabayit. Okay, here we see, obviously, the Beit HaMikdash was no longer around, but when they did the Ibor Shana, they wanted to do it from where the Harabayit was. Vaya Yochanan Sofer Halaz Omed Lefanav, Vishalosh Igrot Chatuchot Lefanav Munachot. Okay, so Yochanan the Sofer was sitting there with three open pieces of paper, blank ones, that he was, you know, cut papers, that he was going to start writing. Amar lo. So Rabban Gamliel says to him, Tol igrat achada, take one piece, uktiv la'achana b'nei Galila ila'a, u'la'achana b'nei Galila tata'a, okay, to my brothers in the Galil Elyon, to my brothers in the Galil Tachton, shlomchon yiske, you should be in peace, mehodinan anachna, okay, just like Shimon Gamliel said, we are modia to you, lichon, to you, dizman bi'ura matalaf, he wasn't doing Ibor Shana, he was doing something else, dizman bi'ura matalafrushe masra mimatana dezeta, okay, it's the time right now to do the biur masrot on your vats of olives. Vitoli gratachada, and take another piece of paper, uchtov. La'achana b'nei daroma, to my brothers in the darom, in the south. Okay, first he did it to the Galil, now to the south. Shlomchen yiske, you should be in peace. Mehodina nanach nilachon, we are announcing to you. Dizman bi'uramata la'afrushe masra mi'omre shibalia. Okay, obviously the olives were in the north, and down in the south they had the grains, and he said it's time to do the biur masra for the grains. Vitoli gratachada, and take your third one, uktov. La'achana b'nei galvata b'bavel. Our brothers sitting in the galut in Bavel. U'la'achana d'bimadai, and in Madai. U'lishar kol galvata d'Yisrael, and to the rest of the diaspora. Shlomchen yizgel la'olam, they get more. You should be in peace forever. Okay, I guess they needed it more. Mehodina nanach nelechon, right, later it was Israel that had much more problems. But in those days, in Rabban Gamliel's days, it was safer in Eretz Israel, at least he perceived it that way. Right, it did connect to the Yibor Shana. Right, so now he's saying, we are announcing to you, right, in Israel, I guess they knew this because they were closer, but the people in Babel, he had to tell, that the Gozalim are soft, the Imraya are keen, right, the lambs are tender, well, they're thin, okay, they're very thin. Uzmana da Aviva, what?
Immature,
okay. Uzmana da Aviva lomata, and the time of the spring hasn't come, meaning we haven't had the signs, the agricultural signs. Shafra milta, now here comes the key. Now this is, remember, Rabban Gamliel, the one who was always so tough and whatever, and not so humble. Veshafra milta ba'an panai uba'an pechevrai. And it looks good to me and my friends, not just to me, but also to my friends. Vosifet al shata da, and we're going to add to this year, yomin talton, 30 days. So now what did they say? So why all of a sudden was he so whatever? So now they say, Dilma batar de avruhu. Maybe this was after they kicked him out. Now this goes all the way back to the story in Brachot, where they kicked him out from being the head, remember? And then what happened? They brought in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to be with him. And then right instead of him, then they said, oh, well, it's not fair. Malim b'kodesh v'lo moridim, right after he asked for forgiveness from Rabbi Yoshua for embarrassing him. So then they take him back. And then he and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah together are the leaders. So they say, ah, that's why. In other words, he had to mention his friend's name because he was leaders together with them. And that's why. Okay, that's one explanation. Another explanation is maybe he learned from that story and was less arrogant. Right? He learned the lessons after that whole incident and was no longer so arrogant like he had been before. And if you notice, Avruhu could also be read as Ibruhu. Also, after they did the, right, it's a reference, it's a play on words of the Avruhu to the Ibor Shana. It's using the same, it's a cute literary reminder of what we're dealing with.
Interesting.
Okay.
I was once on a tiyul in the Shomron on Erev Pesach, and they showed us that when you take the Seorim, that one of the tests that they did in order to tell about Ibor add another month, was that they would take the Seorim, and if they could pop the head of it off, then they knew it was ready and it was Nisan. But if it wasn't ready, then they knew that they would. That was another one of the practical indications.
Excellent.
To wait another month.
That's great. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan al shlosha dvarim abrina tashana. That's really going to connect to exactly what we're going to read now, which is al ha'aviv va'al perot ha'ilan va'al ha'tkufa. Okay. The aviv is the tfuah if the tfuah is ripe. The perot ha'ilan is if they're right, one second. If they're, what's the difference between the two? Because both of them, I think, are relating to the ripeness of the crops.
One second. One says the grains and one says the fruits, the tree's fruits.
It is the fruits of the trees. I thought somehow that they said it was
one,
the...
No, one says it's the grains.
Right, the aviv is the grains and the perot ha'ilan are the fruits. Ah, right, the fruits for the bikurim, right? We have to make sure that the fruits are going to be ready for Shavuot, for the bikurim. So we look both at the tfuah for, what do we need the tfuah for? For the omer, right? We have to bring the korban omer. Now remember, what happens? Before you bring the korban omer, all the new tfuah is not allowed to be eaten until the hakarvat omer. So if you push it off by another month, you're basically pushing off the ability for people to eat from the new tfuah. So again, if it's not ripe, then it doesn't really matter to the people because they can't eat it anyway. If it is already ripe, then you're going to have a little bit of an issue that people are going to have all this grain and they can't eat it, and we'll talk about more issues that come up with that as we go on. So there's three considerations, three main ones. The Aviv, Perot Ha'ilan, and the Tkufa. The Tkufa is the equinox, right? The signs from the, right, in terms of when the days are longer, shorter, what the longest day is, the shortest day, the Tkufa Tammuz, the Tkufa Tevet. Yeah.
You know, like, as on a much more global level, isn't there an issue about Hashem created the world and he created the calendar and he created the seasons and the holidays when they are? Like, aren't we playing with this?
So it's exactly, that's like when we say in the Tefillah, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, that God gave us the power. This is like a lot of things that maybe, what's interesting about what you're saying is, I actually now realize, based on your question, why this is here. It's why we're getting into all these issues in detail. Because this is reflective exactly of Lo B'Shamayim Hi and the whole court system we're going to deal with this throughout the Masechet, about how do we have the power to determine what the laws are? God gave us the laws. How can we determine what the months are? God gave us the world. God created it. God determined. But no, there's parts of it that man has control over. And that's, you know, it's a beautiful aspect of it, and it's also what leads to complications, right? And people using their, you know, realizing, oh, we have power like God, and then they take it too far. So this, and that's the balance that always has to be balanced between trying to get to the truth of what God wanted, but realizing that we're lo b'shamayim hi, we're humans, we're going to make mistakes. How do we have a system that's a godly system, but yet based on man who's going to make mistakes? And that's the whole struggle throughout this Masechet, is exactly that point. And these stories really get at that, right? In other words, we're trying to look in signs of nature for signs of God and what's God telling us, but we have to do it. In other words, we can't shirk back and say, oh, it's all up to God. Right? We have to be part of it. So
it wouldn't fit if we said it's all up to God. The year.
Right. Well, first of all, if we just kept the months as we had it, we'd have like a Muslim calendar where, you know, we all know Ramadan comes out different times every year, and it could be in the winter, it could be in the summer, because every year we're 11 days short in the
purely lunar
calendar, and then we'd, you know, it would be majorly confusing.
So you can make the argument that Hashem is almost inviting you to make a change because...
Exactly. It's almost like we saw the other day with the Torah. It's Amor Lishtanot, the Ktav. Wait, we did the Ktav, or is that come later?
Oh, sorry.
It comes later. I've been teaching ahead because I'm going away. So anyway, I taught some of the Dafim later on Kaf Bet. It comes up about that the Torah was given in a way. One of the drashot of Mishneh Torah is that the Torah is Amor Lihishtanot, and that the Ktav that it was written in is not the Ktav it is nowadays, and that's because it was given specifically to be changed. It's the same concept. Okay.
Brit Milah too.
Right, Brit Milah. It's a similar concept. Yes. Okay. Tana Rabbanan al Shlosha Dvarim. So al Aviv al Perod Eilam v'al Tkufa. Shnayim mehem Ma'abrin v'alacha mehem Ei Ma'abrin. In other words, if you see two out of three signs, then you decide we're going to have an extra month. Ubizman she'aviv echam mehem, and when the Aviv, the grains, are one of them, Hakol Smichin. Why is everybody happy? If the grains are ripe and we decide to be Ma'ber Shana, even though we don't have a different sign, everybody's happy because, again, that's going to affect their ability to eat the grains. Otherwise, they're going to have to wait an extra month, and that's really an annoyance for everybody. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, ala tkufa. He says, on the tkufa, everything should be based just on the tkufa. Just look at the seasons, you know, where we are in terms of the equinox. Ibai Elihu. So now they ask a question. When he said ala tkufa, did he mean ala tkufa smichin? Oh, ala tkufa ma'abrin. Sorry, I explained it ala tkufa ma'abrin. But they ask, did he mean when they decide to do it based on the equinox, everybody's happy? Or did they mean when they decide to base on the equinox, you know, that's how they should determine it? Teku. They don't have a good answer. Tanu Rabbanan. Al shlosha aratzot ma'abrin et hashana. Yuda ve'eva ha'yardein v'ha'galil. This is very interesting. If you're talking about the wheat, right, or the crops, they grow differently in different places. So how do we determine it? We have these three areas. We have Yehuda, Eber HaYarden, and the Galil. So, al shtay mehem ma'abrin, al acha mehem ein ma'abrin. Hu bezman sheyuda achat mehen, and when we go by Yehuda, hakol smichin. Why? She'ein omer ba elam Yehuda. There's an issue that talks about the omer that has to be from the Carmel. And what is Carmel? How do they darshan it? Carmel, they say, means from the freshest and the best of the wheat. So they want to take it from the closest place, which is Yehuda. So if the Omer is, if the grains are ripe in Yehuda and not in the other two places and they don't go by Yehuda, everybody's upset because what happens? First of all, the grains are going to start to dry out. So they won't be able to bring the Omer from Yehuda. They're going to have to bring it from far away. And that means the people in Yehuda are going to be all upset because they can't eat their great fresh grains. They have to wait till the Omer is sacrificed. And the people from far away are annoyed because in the end, they won't have the best, forget about they have to schlep, but also they won't have the best of the grains being used for the Beit HaMikdash because they have to schlep them from far. By the time they get to the Beit HaMikdash, they won't be as fresh as they would have been had we taken them from Yehuda. And therefore, if it goes by Yehuda, everybody's happy. That when they ripen in Yehuda, that's when we go. That's when we determine it. So that's much better. Tana Rabbanan. Eim ma'abrin et hashanim ela b'Yehuda. V'imibrua b'galil me'uberet. Okay, so it should be done in Yehuda, the determination. And, you know, it's not based on Yehuda, but in the physical place. And if they did it in the Galil, it works. Hei chananya ish ono, im chananya ish ono, im ibrua bagalil ena meuberet. He says, "Dafk, if they did in the Galil, it's no good." Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shimon ben Pazi, my time at the Hanani ish ono. Why is that? Amar kra l'shichno tidrashu ubata shama. Kol drisha shata doresh lo yu ela b'shcheino shamakom. Say anytime you make any sort of inquiry and decide about something, it should be close to where the Beit HaMikdash was. Tana Rabbanan, Eima brinit hashana ela b'yom. Pimibrua b'layla eina mu'ber. You can only do it in the day, not at night. Ve'im mekachin et ha'cholesh ela b'yom. V'im kachua b'layla eina mekudash. Amar Rabbi Abba, Maikra, where do we learn this from? Tik'u b'chodesh shofar b'kesa l'yom chagenu. What do we darshan from this pasuk? Why do we always read it on Rosh Hashanah? Ezu chag shachodesh mitkasebo, not just because of the shofar, but bekesel liyom chagenu means when the moon, when the chodesh is covered. Okay, havei omer ze Rosh Hashanah. Right? What does it mean the moon is covered? It's a new moon, right? That's the only holiday that happens at the beginning of a
except
month.
Except that you can only see that at night.
You can only determine
the moon.
Yeah, but they're saying, right. Yeah, so you determine it at night, but you come to the court in the morning. We're going to see why in a minute. This is why we haven't gotten to the answer yet. Uktiv kichok l'Israel hu mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. Ma mishpat. So now they say the end of that pasuk, which was talking about the new month. Kichok l'Israel hu mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. So now they're going to compare the chok and mishpat. Chok is about the new moon. Ma mishpat bayom. Af kiddush ha'chodesh bayom. So since they're comparing it to mishpat, and we know that mishpatim, you have to judge in courts only during the day. They never did judgments at night. Therefore, the Kiddush HaChodesh is compared to that, and you can only do it at night. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. I guess we didn't get any farther.
You can do it during the day.
What?
Only during the day.
Oh, I said the opposite? No, you can only do it during the day. You can't do it at night. Sorry, that was what I meant to say. Okay. Even the Kiddush HaChodesh, you can't do. By the way, what's the important halacha lamaaseh about this? If you forget Yalla V'yavo in Mar... Okay, if you forget Yalla V'yavo, Shacharit, and Mincha, on Rosh Chodesh, you have to go back and do another Shmona Esrei. Your Shmona Esrei was no good, because you missed an important part of the day. But if you forget at night, since Eim Kachin Marev, Eim Kachin Chodesh Balayla, so you don't have to go back, even, not only the first night, because the first night you could say, okay, I understand, two-day Rosh Chodesh, so in those days, they hadn't even determined that it was Rosh Chodesh yet, but because of Lo Plug, even the second night, that's because of this concept of Em Kachin Chodesh Balayla, if you forget Yalav Yavo and Marv, you don't have to go back.